Today we'll talk about some in Yane Chalitza. We had occasion to do a Chalitza in the Bezdin a few weeks ago, which is our first socially distant Chalitza. Luckily, no one got arrested for spitting, but otherwise it was pretty smooth, Baruch Hashem, as things go. We'll talk a little bit about some Chalitza-related issues. There's a comment in the Beis Shmuel in Simen Kuf Samech Hei, Sivkat Antes. Let's see if we get it up here. Okay. So it says in Shulchan Aruch in the end of Sif Gimel over there, Yevama Shatava Hayabam Lachlot. So if you have a Yevama where the Yabam requests Chalitza, he ain't a Rotza, El Yishar Aguna. So she doesn't want anything to do with it. She's very happy to remain in Aguna, to remain in a situation with a live Zika where she can't get remarried, and too bad on him. Ein shomin la, afilu hayabam nasoi. So we don't listen to her, even if the yabam is nasoi, is married and can't marry her, only her anyway, can only do chalitza. So she has no right to refuse, and the Rambam says that she has the status of a moredes in that situation. Says the Beis Shmuel, zoom make it bigger. There we go. Dina kemaredes, hine b'tur b'rambam lo kasfu dehi maredes el b'piskem erai. So it doesn't say this in the Rambam, the Torah, it just says in the Trumas Hadeshen. V'cheinu b'magid, afilu im ritzanu liyabim, mikol makom, dina kemaredes, afleshita z'poskim de So even if she says no, she's happy to do chalitza, she just doesn't want to do, she's happy to do yibim, she just doesn't want to do chalitza, and the yavam wants to do chalitza, so he has the upper hand, and if she refuses, she has the status of a meredith, independent of the machlokas chama abishol and daf gimel daf lamites and yavamis, whether mitzvah yibim kodemes or mitzvah chalitza kodemes, which one is preferable. But if she doesn't want to do chalitza because it's embarrassing, or she doesn't want to be subservient to him, dina gemeredes shenosenas amasla dvareha. It still is a din of a meredes who gives an amasla for what she says, and she's not entitled to the nedunya, whatever money she would have been entitled to when her husband dies. She forfeits because she has the status of a moredes. Fine. So this points a little bit to the question that Acharonim discuss, whether in the big picture, the mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza is considered to be a mitzvah chiyubis, so to speak, or a mitzvah chiyumis. Do the parties have a right to say that we have no interest in getting remarried? We're happy to let the Zika remain. And therefore, we're not interested in doing a chalitza. So the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva in Chelik Dalid, which is Ebenezer Chelik Beis Simin Pei Hei. Where he has the following. Get back to normal size. So you have an elderly Yavam Yavama. And they abusha. So they find it embarrassing to go through this process. And they're happy to remain with the Zika. No one has any intention of getting remarried anyway. it's a schlep. Iyos Avdin, is that appropriate or not? Hine call your car rasa eno ena bedolach vanirlin if yataiti the pashin mavur belashan a rambam the maisiator belanchu with aran with a deshan the alkopan mishtei merutzim ve'ein beneim shem taina lo machmas mamon. So if there is no financial disagreement here, oh dehi bai marliado, she's not looking to have other children, oh ne ishlo shayabam v'kadoma, or the Yavam's wife doesn't want to get this to happen. As I ain't the Bezdin Alayim Klum, so Bezdin has no claim over these people. That we just mentioned. He says that they all are Mechav into the Zohar. Parshas Kukas. Dimash Mesha Mitzvah B'chalitza. B'nei Im So if that's true, that the Zohar says that there is a mitzvah to do chalitza, but in Babli it's not mashra the way, so we assume that you can't force someone to follow the Zohar. And anyway, so he says that it may be the case that according to the Zohar, there's mitzvah to do chalitza even if you have no intention of getting remarried, but that's not the postures from most of the classic poskim, and therefore you can't force, if both parties are uninterested in chalitza, you can't force it upon them. We've had cases like this over the years of no one's getting remarried and no one's running to do a chalitza, so that's not going to get involved if no one approaches with an interest. I'm aware of a couple current cases that have been, so to speak, on hold for years in this kind of situation where no one's really pushing to do a chalitza. Someone would change their mind at some point and want to get remarried, then they would probably revisit it. But then he says, So just like by Gerishin is one of the Tariq mitzvos. It means that as Mendel Zaks was apparently fond of quoting for the Chavetz Chaim, that Tariq mitzvos means Tariq Ginyanim, that the Torah prescribes that if you're in this situation, this is a way to conduct yourself. Not that there's, as Rabbi Bleich said, if you're looking for mitzvahs to do in Chodesh Elul, you want to increase your mitzvah points, no one ever suggested you should divorce your wife to get a mitzvah gerushin, and then you can marry her again, and maybe it'll be another mitzvah kedushin, so you have extra mitzvah points. That's not what it means that there's a mitzvah gerushin. It means that there's an inyan. If you're in the situation, this is what the Torah prescribes to do. The Hanami, even if the Zohar says that there's a mitzvah of chalitza, it means that if you're in the situation and you want to get remarried, this is how to go about it. Doesn't mean that that there's a mitzvah to do it per se actively. Ach, azor hasam loka amr shiyah mitzvah say. So what the Zohar meant isn't that it's a mitzvah say that you should look to be mekayim. Ki im shu skula l'nishmas ames. That it's a skula for the neshama of the nifter. V'ye'en kamilas chesed im amesim. Hu ke'en amiris kadish. Ve'en locha v'isha filu k'furasa mikol shaked l'gbal chesed azeh. So the Zohar just means that it's a schooler for the neshama of the mace, but you can't force someone to engage in a school. If the woman has her own cheshbonos, if Yvam has her own cheshbonos, why she doesn't want to do it? So you can't force her to do something for the benefit of the mace. That's you have to, when you do chalitza, sometimes some of them are a lot more tragic than others, and in some situation, there's a lot more trauma involved. So sometimes this notion of doing something as a tikkun for the neshama and the meis could be comforting, and sometimes it could be the opposite. So you have to know who you're dealing with and be careful how you counsel people, because different things resonate differently in different life situations. Chuvas binyan siyam, simen kufnun gimel. BNC and Kufna Gimel. Stela. Vahai Uvda the Asila Kame Damar, the Isha Zakana Shinafalith Nayabam, the Aina Rosa Lachlots. Umaana Bafia, Kiavia Gonzal, Shaya Abezim, Achasakilos, Amrla, Shim Tagila Shishim Shanim, Azai Aina Mukhuyabas O Lachlots. So somehow her father was an Abezim told her that once he at the age of 60, there's no Chiyav Chalitza. The Gambi Baalas Mum, the Chalusha, and she's physically challenged and she's weak. She's never going to get remarried anyway. So do we force Chalitza or conclusion? Lachay nirlani astayti, yesh ledabra leva isha, shabal tinna gemilas chesed mibayla shemes. So as the Chazon Sofer said, that there is an element of gemilas chesed based on the Zohar that it's appropriate and helpful to the nifter. And we should encourage her to do it as a schus for the neshama of her deceased husband. Omnam, bidvarim shehem b'sidur chalitza rak min hagam uchumros, yesh lahaka letzlo shelo tisbayesh ripnei muma. The chalitza said that. But if her concern is that she has physical impairments and she's weak, so anything that's only mishumina ganam ikra din, you can dispense with if it's going to cause embarrassment for her. V'lachein lo tia chalitza b'pirsim. If she doesn't want a lot of people there, there is a notion, as we'll see a little bit later, of piersum when it comes to chalitza, of a certain degree of publicity. But that's only mishum and haga. That's not mikra din. So if she doesn't want piersum, she wants to do with the bare minimum number of people possible, then that's fine. She wants to have the five dayanim that are required. That's fine. But at the end of the day, if she doesn't want to do chalitza at all, you can't force her, because at the end of the day, we assume that it's not a mitzvah chiyuv that you can be kofar for. It's if she's not going to get remarried, and then it's not absolutely necessary to perform the chalitza. Okay, so apropos to that point of Pearsum. The Gemara says, "And Daf Kuf Aleph on the days in Yevamos." Amar Rava, Tzrichi Dayani leMikba Duchta. That in advance of performing a chalitza, the dayanim have to do a kfiyas makam. They have to establish the location of the chalitza in advance. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Breda, Rav Yeshua, Avdi, Uvda, V'chamisha. They did it with five dayanim. Kaman, Rav Yehuda, Iva, Hadarbei, Nola, Pesuim, Vilsa. So the Mishnah, the beginning of Mitzvah Chalitza, Machlok, Estanoim, Chacham, Rav Yehuda, how many dayanim do you need for chalitza? Chacham say three, Rav Yehuda says five. And then Rabbi Yehuda was closer that you only need three. So what does the Gemara mean over here? You need five. So in Ikara, then you need three. But the requirement of five is Mishum Persume Milsa. So the Gemara here identifies two elements of Chalitza that are because of Pirsum. Number one, having a Kviyas Makam in advance, establishing the place ahead of time. And number two, having five Dayan. So Rashi comments, what's the Persume Milsa? The Chalutzahi. To publicize that she's a chalutza, below insva lekoin, so that people will know that she's a sur lekoin, chalutza is a sur lekoin. Inami delesu inchi velikbetzuala, or to publicize the fact that she's now eligible and free to remarry. So these, Rashi says, are two reasons for the need of piersum when it comes to chalutza. The Beis Shmuel comments in Simen Kuf Samaches of Katan Dalid. What's the nafkamina between the two answers, the two explanations of Rashi for Pearsum? So if you have a woman who's already grusha, she's previously divorced, she's a sula kohen anyway, so then you don't need any extra Pearsum to indicate that she's a chalutza and that she's a sula kohen for that reason, because she's already a grusha. But if the reason is to indicate that she's eligible, that she's free to remarry, so then you would need the same piersum, because till now she was a zakuka aliyavam, and now she is mutaras hashuk. So that's what the Beis Shmuel says, would be an afkamina between the two reasons in Rashi. In the Sefer Chalitza Kolchasa, Parakaf Aleph, footnote 5, he quotes from the Beis Meir that according to the Beis Shmuel's explanation, let's say you have a grusha. The grusha says that she doesn't want to do Chalitza in front of 5 dayanim. She only wants to have 3 dayanim. So if the whole reason for having 5 dayanim is piersum, and the whole reason for piersum is according to the first reason of Rashi to show that she's a Sula Kohen, and she's already a Grusha and a Sula Kohen anyway, then she would have the right to insist that she only wants to have 3 dayanim. But if the reason is to indicate that she's a Mutaras Linase, so then that's as relevant in her situation as well, even if she was previously a Grusha, but now she's a Kukuliyavam, and then the piersum would be relevant there as well. But he says that in practice, since our practice for back to the Gemara is having 5 dayanim, so that's non-negotiable, even if you'll argue that according to one reason in Rashi, the piersim isn't necessary in a particular case, but the practice already was established of having 5 dayanim across the board. Okay. And as far as the din of Kriyas Makom, so that seems to emerge pretty clearly from the Gemara, that the need to be Kaveya Makom is based on the notion of Pearson. The Meiri spells it out a little bit more explicitly in that Gemara, as does Rabbi Avraham ben Ahar there in the Gemara, as does the Beis Shmuel in Kuf Samaches Sifkatan Hey. Beis Shmuel says, for that reason, the point, the Kviyas Makom is Mishum Pirsum. For that reason, the Minog was, and this is what it says in the Raman, the Seder HaChalitza, that the Chalitza would be done typically in Gova Shalir, in the high place in the city, or in the Chatzar Beis HaKnesses, in a public place, so that people would come and watch and be aware that this is going on. Okay. Now, according to the second reason of Rashi, that it's to indicate that she is now Mutaras Linase, shouldn't be any difference between the piersim for Chalitza and the need for piersim for a get. So Rabbi Avraham Nahar writes that the reason that there is this notion of piersim for Chalitza over a get is Sharei hi misgareshes beget shehu nosein la. When it comes to regular get, the woman is holding on to the get in her hands. And she has a right to show that she's divorced. When it comes to chalitza, it's a certain ceremony, certain event that creates the chalitza, that creates her status change, but there's no document that she can hold on to. So that's why there's more of a need, even if the reason for piersim is to indicate that she's Mutaras Linase, and that should have been true for a get just as well, but a get, she has a rye in her hand, and that's why the need for piersim is more pronounced when it comes to chalitza. And the Bach has an additional reason that when it comes to chalitza, chalitza is something that's done in the presence of dayanim. So there's more of a indication of a need for piersim as opposed to gerusha. You don't need dayanim; you just need two edim. So you don't have that same kind of piersim. Okay. Nevertheless. Even though the Rebbe Avraham ben Ahar points out this distinction that you don't need piersim when it comes to a get, it does say in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Kuf Lamed Gimel Sif Beis, that the regil and laseis get b'minyan asara, that the minug is to have a get given over in the presence of 10 people. And that's what it says in the Seder again in Shulchan Aruch and Sif Av, v'nogu likach asara eitzel nesinas haget, that there is a minhag to have a minion present at a get for piersim. Although it's possible that the reason for piercing again may be different. The Be'er Agra there, Sifkat and Vav, goes to Ramah. Ramah Kuf Lamed Vav Sifav writes that the minhag was to give a get for Rabbim in order to ensure that you don't have a situation of Shnei Shimon ben Yosef Birachas, two people with the same name in the same city, and there'd be confusion as to which one divorced his wife. So then if you have piercing for a get, then everyone will know who the real Megaresh is. Lemaisa, we're not really makbid. I'm not aware of anyone who's makbid and having a minion for a get. There's a Rabbi Wollhendler who passed away a few years ago, who's the author of the Gufei Halachos, which we quoted in our Nidashirim a few times, which was originally known as a Mishabrua Chadash, which got him in trouble for using the same name as a Mishabrua. He was of the Ture Karta orientation in Williamsburg. He wrote a Gufei Halachos, a wonderful swarm. He wrote a nice Sefer and Seder get also. And I was at a get by him once many years ago. So he told me that he is makbid to have a minion for a get. There's a whole party around the table at the time. But he's makel to have a woman be a misarif to the minion for Seder Harget. But in practice, a batei din are not makbid to have a minion for a get. As opposed to chalitza, where generally speaking, we are makbid to have at least a minion. And the Seder Chalitza, Shulchan Aruch, Sif Gimel, it says, Mevi'im odim sheyusham be'esa chalitza, l'fachos yuchamisha shenimsa, so the minhag is to have at least a minion. You have your five dayanim anyway, for starters. And then you have another five people that makes your minion. And the source for that seems to be a comment in the Pirkei Der Blazer, which is quoted in the Gos Maimonides Perek Daled Yibam Osvav, that the Pirkei Der Blazer comments on a number of things that require asara. On the pasuk, Alei Asor Balei Novel, Kol Eidos Ne'emanus Yisrael Basara, the Kinor of David HaMelech had Asara Nevalim, Bris Milas Basara, Eidos HaMeis Basara, Eidos Berkas Hashem Basara, Eidos Chalitza Basara, Eidos Berkas Nesuim Basara. So some of these are Shirma to themselves. What does that mean, Bris Mila Basara? But on the list in that Pirkei Der Blazer is Chalitza Basara. There is a Sefer Yashar, Chelek HaChidushim Simach Samech, who says that this Pirkei Der Blazer is not Lahalacha. But the general practice is, when it comes to Chalitza, we are makbid to have a minion, minimally if piercing. And the Chalitza we did a few weeks ago in Tkufas COVID, so in the end, we ended up having a minion mitzumsum, but in the interest of keeping things very small, we did it out of town anyway. In the interest of keeping things small, I wasn't necessarily makbid or wouldn't have been makbid to have a minion if it would have been any brought in any unnecessary people. It just happened to be that between the five dayanim and we have two edim also, and then a couple of the local rabbanim and the yavam, we ended up having a minion mitzumsum, and that is generally the minimum piercing that we do for a chalitza. If you have to, chalitzas are sometimes high demand events where people are interested in seeing it, but you have to be sensitive to the particular sensitivities of the people involved and kind of limit the crowds on that basis. We had one case a number of years ago of a woman who needed chalitza. But no one else in the world knew that she needed chalitza because she had children with donor zera, but no one else in the world knew that it was donor zera, and everyone was under the assumption that her children were the children that she had together with her husband, and no one knew otherwise. So this woman was alerted to the fact that she needed a chalitza. So she was from a different community. But she came to us as a Beis Din in a different community where no one would know her. And we were very makbid. Even the Yavam, until the Yavam was brought into the picture, I had no idea that there was a Zika here. That he also thought that the children were the natural children of his brother. So in that situation, we had a minyan mitzumsum of, I believe, only 10, 11 people. And we vetted everyone to make sure that no one had any connection to the people that Edwin went out. It was done with utmost sensitivity and privacy. So those are the kind, in that kind of case, you limit your Pearsome to the bare minimum possible. In other cases, which are more, we had a chalitza a couple years ago where it was a happy chalitza, kind of, because the woman had been married 25 years ago to her first husband, and then they got divorced, and then he passed away some years later, but they never had a get. So from a halakhic perspective, at least the chumrah, the first wedding was only a civil wedding or a non-halakhic wedding anyway. So at least the chumrah, just like we require a get l'chumrah in that case, as we discussed a few weeks ago about civil marriage, we require a chalitza l'chumrah. From her perspective, she divorced her first husband years ago before he died. They had no connection. There wasn't any grieving or any loss involved. But from a halakhic perspective, at least l'chumrah, she still had been married to the husband and would therefore need a chalitza. So in that case, many years later, where she was holding by getting remarried, and someone alerted her to the fact that there was a need for chalitza, so we did a chalitza. So that's the kind of situation where no one really cares if the guest list is expanded, because it's not like a heavily emotional event. Okay, so let's just take a look at some of the basic halacha through the Seder Chalitza, which is printed in Shulchan Aruch, the end of Hilchos Chalitza, at the end of Siman Kuf Samach Tes. Let's see what we can put up on the screen here. It looks like I don't have that here. Okay. Do you happen to have a Shulchan Aruch Ebenezer in front of you? No?
Not at the moment. I can.
Do you have one nearby, Yossi? No? Okay. Here, let's see if I can get it onto the screen. Just give me a minute. Okay, got it here. Just looking for the right page. Okay, here we go. Okay, so mitzvah chalitza begimel dayanim afilu hemed yotos ulevad shiyu yodim likaros. That's what emerges from the Mishnah in the beginning of Perek mitzvah chalitza, that the dayanim ikra dim could be yotos as long as they know how to be makri. They have to be able to dictate the psukim that needed to be recited by the yavam liyavama properly. Ulechachila no again shachachem shebeir im shnei chashuvei ir hemed dayanim. So even though Mikra Dini could have a yotos, the minhag is to use people who are more proficient. They can't be blind. They have to see the components of a chalitza. That's the general advice when it comes to any Eidos or Dayanis, that you have to be Mahar B'tshuva prior to serving as an aid. Get to the next page. Here we go. Okay. So they can't be Kovan, they can't be Psulim. Sif Hey, Achar Shivadu Yachro Gimel Dayanim, Yosifu Aleim, Shnayim Lipersumi Milsa. So after you establish the original three Dayanim, you add another two Lipersumi Milsa. Afiloim Amearitz, Shainam Yodim Likro. Lahakros, Ocean Krovim, Korvish, and Paselis Minadin, Avakol Shardvaram Posim, Ahem, Kamo, Begimel, Arishon. Okay. Vav. Vyikbu Makam Lachalitza, Shayom Ragimel, Beis Anosafim, Nelech Lamachar, Veneshim, Makam Ploni, Kidei, Lachlods, Shah. So it says here that the Kvias Makam has to be done the day before with the participation of all five Dayanim. General practice of Batei Din and what emerges from Nosei Kelim is that we're not makpid to have the Kriyas Makom with only five Dayanim. All we need are the three Dayanim. So typically, the Kriyas Makom is done on the day before. It says here, Hagav, Enogim, Shaholchim, Lamakom, Shirotzim, Leishiv, Sham, Lamachar, the Yoshua, Ma'at, they sit down a little bit. Enogim, Shagam, Shnaim, and Osafim, Hochim, and Bezdin, Aval, Enam, Akiv. It's not Ma'akiv to have the additional Dayanim, part of the Kriyas Makom, Raksha Bezin Yomru, Elishnayim, Sheyachu, Vahochen Sham, Elu Agimel Sagi. The Yesh Omer, Vafila Chalika, Inamakeves, Raksha Yomer, Shalamacha, Yachu, Lachlas, Makomponi, Vain Sarshakol Shlosha Dayanim, Yidabrukach, Elu Agadah, Shabagimel Omer, Amadabrash Nechavera. Okay, me Yesh Bachmir, Shakol Agimel Yidabrukach, so our practice is that the one Dayan says his two colleagues, that Nelech Makomponi, Venechma Makom, for the chalitza. So our general practice is that it's the three dayanim to do the kriyas makom on the day before. Piskei Shuva writes that if the chalitza is done on a Sunday, so then you do the kriyas makom on a Friday. Rabbi Chalap, you should be well, has a had a story with his father, who was a rabbi in the Bronx, that they were involved in the chalitza, wants to go to the Rabbi Libus, and they had a hard time pinning down the Yabam to participate. It was this big, burly New York City policeman, and they finally got him to agree to come on a Sunday, which is the only day that he had off, and they were tumulting about the Kriyas Makom, if it has to be on a Sunday, so I'm not sure what the tumult was. It seems pretty clear in Pesach Tshuva that we do the Kriyas Makom on Friday. Fine. And then they showed up on Sunday, and this big big policeman put on the chalitza shoe, and it broke. And then they were stuck. They had to reschedule after they got another backup chalitza shoe. But it seems pasha that it's a matter of halacha. If you do a chalitza on a Sunday, you do the kriyas makom on Friday. And the chalitza that we did out of town a few weeks ago, this is the first situation where we couldn't do the kriyas makom before. Due to the fact that it was far away and the current situation, it wasn't really practical to get there twice and go the day before. So we're able to do the Kriyas Makom that morning, which the Ikaridin would be a sufficient kiyum of the Kriyas Makom. So again, the way it's typically done is that the Dayanim stand outside of the room and they sit down outside the room. They say, we're going to go into such a room and be Kovei Makom. So they go in the room, they sit down again, they say, we're being Kovei Makom, this place for the chalitza, and then they exit the room. Now, our practice in the Beis Din, which I haven't seen any written source for, but apparently it's a long-standing practice, is that once you're Kovei the Makom for the room, you lock the room, and you restrict access, or prohibit access until the time of the chalitza. So typically we put up a sign on the door that says that we were Kovei Makom here for the chalitza to be done tomorrow at such and such a time. And then access is restricted. Where that comes from, I haven't been able to find. Couldn't find any printed source, but that apparently is a long-standing practice, at least in our Beis Din. Okay, so that's what it said here in Zion. So here it says the chalitza. Piska Tshuva in earlier in Kosama test discussed that as well. Okay, and that's the lashon in Siftes of Gova Shalir, in a place where there is a piercing where it's going to be sufficiently publicized. Okay, in Yud. So you have to warn the woman the day before, at least the day before, that she's not allowed to eat or drink anything or use mouthwash or brush her teeth the morning of the chalitza until she does the chalitza, because you want to ensure that the roke for the rakika is going to be natural roke and not somehow tinged by things that she ingested right before. That's why we try to do chalitzas as early as possible in the morning, so it's not to inconvenience the Obama so much by having to make her fast more than necessary. She shouldn't speak too much, again, so as not to build up additional rope, and she should not spit before the appointed time for the official rakika. Okay. Then you also tell the Yavan to make sure to wash his foot and clean it before the chalitza so that there's no chatzitza between the chalitza shoe and his foot. We don't do chalitza at night because the Maisa Bezdin, no Maisa Bezdin Belayla. We don't do chalitza on Shabbos and Yantiv. And we don't do by the Shabbos and Yantiv, that's a mission beitza. And we don't do chalitzas on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yantiv. Why don't we do chalitzas on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yantiv? Because we're worried that people are going to be in a rush, the Yadim are going to be in a rush to get home to get ready for Shabbos and may not be as careful. Now, that's why it says in the Seder a get as well, not to do a get on Erev Shabbos. Our Rav Henkin was apparently often said that when it comes to Gittin in America, everything's a Shas Adchak, and there's certain things that may not have been done that way in Europe, but in America we have to be make of that. So one of those things is doing a get an Erev Shabbos, because if you delay till next week, maybe the guy won't come back. It also doesn't say to a get not to do a get on Rosh Chodesh, especially on the first day of Rosh Chodesh, because of the shaila how you write the date. Not to do a get on Chodesh Iyar, because of the shaila whether you write one yud or two yud. So the practice, universal practice of Batei Din is we do get in Chodesh Iyar, we don't take a month off. Rosh Chodesh in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of the Batei Din try to avoid getting in Rosh Chodesh, we don't think twice about it. And the same thing, Erev Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, they're generally called Erev Shabbos anyway. But we don't really think twice about doing get on Erev Shabbos, because if people are ready to do it now, who knows what tomorrow will bring. I like to say that if we, again, it says in Seder again, not to do a get Erev Shabbos, not to get during Iyar, not to do a get on Rosh Chodesh. So if we have a Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Shechal be'Erev Shabbos, we would still do a get, because that's how we operate. Okay. And Sif Yubeis, B'yom HaChalitza Yavo, Chamisha Dayanim, L'makom shakavu hashlosha dayanim rishonim hashlosha dayanim rishonim yeshu l'safsol agadol b'emso based on the safim yeshu b'kinegdim l'safsol lachir. So the way the dayanim are seated, you have three dayanim at one bench, or three dayanim that are parallel to each other, and the other two dayanim are on another bench that's perpendicular. Vayavim yavam on the b'emso, they stand in the middle so that all the dayanim can see them. Then Yugimel says we have at least a minug. Hagah, that's why the minug was to do the chalitza after davening in the morning, so that you have there and you have your piercing. Okay. So then the Seder Chalitza just goes through all the questions you have to ascertain to make sure that there actually is a Zika, that we establish that the Yavam died, we establish the identity of the Yavam and the Yavama, we establish that there are no children, we establish that they're brothers and the same father, etc. And for these purposes, we have what's called Eidus Ishtamadoi, that we have lower standards of Eidus, a single aid, even a puzzle aid, would be sufficient to establish these points of fact, that there are at least 92 days have passed since the passing of the deceased husband. So we get a death certificate to ascertain that. Kavav. So she yedu em yavam iter rega. They have to make sure that the yavam is not left footed. What happens if the yavam is left footed? First of all, how do you establish that someone is left footed? So there are two things discussed in poskim. Number one is what leg do you kick with? So you make him usually ask a question ahead of time to make sure that you're not in for any surprises. But you ask the person to kick the wall. So if he kicks with his right leg, he's probably right footed. And then the other thing that poskim discuss is what foot do you put forward first when you walk? If you stand at attention and then you walk, do you put your right foot forward or your left foot forward? And someone who's right footed would typically put his left foot forward. But we only had one case of a left-footed fellow who needed to do chalitza. So that's a 3 days in postgame. If you have a left-footed yavam, do you put the shoe on the right foot, on the left foot, or on both? So our practice is to do the chalitza twice, to start with to have it both on the right foot, do a chalitza, and then do another chalitza with the shoe on the left foot. For that, you need a left-footed shoe, which we had to borrow on from a different Beis Din when we had a left-footed yavam. I did have a slight scare the last chalitza we did because the person had told me that he was a right-footed and kicked with his right foot, but when he stood at attention, he put his left foot forward, although he wasn't really so aware of it, didn't think of that consciously, but then after a few other attempts, he put his right foot forward and it seemed that he was really right-footed. But left-footed people are a challenge. Doesn't happen so often. I think there are more left-handed people than left-footed people, and there doesn't seem to be a necessary correspondence between the two. And then in the Kavzayin, Sero Sheyedu Mayavami Taris Yad Yamina. So that's a little bit of a lower stake, because you don't have to get an extra shoe, you just have to know what hand to do the chalitza with. So if a woman is left-handed, then you do the chalitza with the left hand. If she's right-handed or ambidextrous, you do the chalitza with the right hand. Okay. So we have them sit down, and then we tell them to stand up. So we ask them, do you prefer to do Yivam? Do you prefer to do Chalitza? They have to be aware that what they're doing is severing the Zika. And you do a bitul modos in case he ever made a statement that he's doing it under some kind of onus. Please mevatel that modos to make sure that he's doing it mirtzono atov. We establish that he hasn't had anything to eat or drink that morning. Then you check the chalitza shoe, make sure that there's no chatitza. You make sure that the yabam washed his foot properly, and then you dry it. He rolls up his pants leg up to the knee, make sure that there's no dirt or no chalitza. Then you give the shoe to the Yavam b'matani, makes a kinyan, so it's his, has to be his shoe. He puts it on his right foot if he's right footed. There are ritsuos and lulos, so we're not going to talk about the details of how you strap it. Then he walks for amos to make sure that it fits him properly. Memhei, yamdu yavam etzal kosel amud lishayin. V'yizar shel yishan kolkach shenolina amud. I know for the tzedim b'kiyamid. So he has to stand, but he has to prop himself up slightly against the wall, not leaving enough that if the wall wasn't there, he'd fall down. But it has to give him some support so that he can put pressure down on the floor, so that the Yavama is applying counter pressure to remove the shoe. Memzayim elam den osavas yavam likros atchehu v'hi yuregilim. So usually we just prompt them to repeat word after word. Lo avay yavmi has to be b'nishima achas. So you makri the psukim, then you makri to him lo chafati lakachta with a mapake. And then the Yavama comes and first releases the buckles and then the buttons and then the ritsuas on the shoe. Sorry, that's the wrong way. Then she removes the shoe with her right hand and throws it away. Throws it onto the ground. Nun Gimel. Then she does the rakika keneged panav. The yadam have to see the rakika when it comes out of her mouth. And then your makri here, kachi asel isha shelley of nes beis achiv and akrashma beisal beis chalutzanal. And everybody exclaims in unison three times, beis chalutzanal, beis chalutzanal, or chalutzanal, chalutzanal, chalutzanal. You get the shoe back, so you have it again for next time. And then you say bracha that Yirasan Shelo Tavona Benosisa Loli De Chalitza Veloli Dibam, that we hope there will never be a next time, and that we won't have to do this again. And that is the end of the Seder Chalitza. Okay.